So about a month ago, Jason, Will, myself, we had the extreme privilege of attending something that's called the Simeon Trust. So the Charles Simeon Trust Workshop. And these are 3-day workshop seminars that give us some better tools for how to teach from the Bible, how to explain the Bible more clearly. And to help us learn these tools, we actually had to do small groups, like 2-hour small groups, and we deep dove into 8 passages from the book of Isaiah. And we also had 2 sermons preached to us from like world-class preachers on the book of Isaiah. And so by the end of 3 days, like my mind is like soaking in Isaiah. And my way of describing how I felt about the book of Isaiah is kind of like when you meet someone for the first time and you think they're a little obnoxious or weird or whatever, and you think, I'll never be friends with this person. Yet for some reason you have to spend time with this person and you get to talking to them, and pretty soon you're asking yourself, like, hey man, is this person my best friend? Maybe some of you guys feel that way about me, you know? That's how I feel about the book of Isaiah, okay? So it seemed, I mean, maybe this is how you feel about it right now. It's like very confusing. It's very long. It's kind of intimidating. I didn't really know what to do with it. But after listening through like these 8 small group discussions, these 2 sermons, this book now means a lot to me. And I get excited. Me and Evan, we joke like, hey man, did you see that quote from Isaiah from this sermon? Like, I get excited when someone is preaching and they quote from Isaiah. And it's very cool because, you know, after the book of Psalms in the New Testament, Isaiah is like a close second in terms of how much it gets quoted by the New Testament authors. Some scholars, a lot of people, they call it the 5th gospel because of how much it talks about the coming of Jesus. It talks about salvation for Gentiles. It talks about mercy and hope for non-Jewish people like most of us here, like you and me. And, you know, a couple of weeks after Simeon Trust, I don't know if you guys remember from a few weeks ago, but Pastor Josh was preaching through the end of Luke 19. And this is where the corrupt sellers and the money changers from the temple get driven out by Jesus. And Jesus quotes from Isaiah 56. And there's just a few verses from Isaiah 56 that I thought were so beautiful. When we have this opportunity to do like a one-off Devo, like I just really wanted to share some thoughts about why it impacted me. So we're not going to get a full-on sermon tonight. It's just a devotional, but I just wanted to share some thoughts with you guys. And so can we actually start with, before Isaiah 56, start with Isaiah 55. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah 55. I want us to have some context because this is kind of what's going through my mind, right? We're just going to read the first 9 verses. So Isaiah 55, verse 1-9. So verse 1, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Some quick observations. I just want to see, how many times does Isaiah write, come? Just in the first verse, come. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come. Buy and eat, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. So just in the first verse, he writes, come 4 times. For those of you who feel far away from God, God just wants you to come. He wants you to return. He He doesn't want your money. He's not trying to just get something from you or extract something from you. He wants you to drink. He wants you to eat. And he wants you to be with him, to sit with him, and to know him. And I'm going to ask you the same question that Isaiah asked. Why are you going to spend your money? Why are you going to spend your energy? Why are you going to spend your labor, your thoughts, your emotions, your love on things that are not going to satisfy you? God is speaking in Isaiah 55 just to people who are wayward. God's speaking to people who have loved the wrong things. And maybe that's you. Certainly, that's been me. And what does God do for people who are wayward, people who are like us? He tells us to come to him. He actually comes to us lovingly. And he tells us to listen to him, to delight in him, to eat what's good. Verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near." So, you know, my friends, you guys have like a window of opportunity. And you'll have lots of windows of opportunity in your life. And I know this because I've had so many opportunities in my life. But the greatest one wasn't just, you know, doing well at school so I could go to a good college, or doing well in college so I could, you know, get a good job. And then when I get there, do a good job at that job so I could get an even better job, or buying a house before it got too expensive, or even anything that is like what you would think, right? These are great. These are great opportunities that you'll come. You'll look back at your life like, wow, that was a great opportunity. But the biggest opportunity you have are when the stakes are the highest, okay? These are opportunities because you're like, wow, like it could have gone this way, but it went that way. So those feel like high stakes, but there's no higher stakes than God. If God is real, then your relationship with him is the most important question that you need an answer to. So these are the ultimate stakes in your life. In verse 6, it's telling us that you have an opportunity now to reconcile with the living God who created everything. Now Isaiah is urging you, like, don't fumble it. Like, seek God while you can, return to him, and then he gives you a reason because he's compassionate. He will abundantly pardon whatever wrongdoing you have when you come to him. And why is that? Like, why would God pay attention to you? Why would he forgive you? Why would he give you something that's undeserved? Because thank God, like, he's not like us. Isaiah writes down that God says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. God is just better than you. God is better than us, right? God is better than me. Like, and that sounds obvious, but have you ever thought that you knew better than God? I know I have. There's been many times in my life that I feel like my ways are better than God's ways. My thoughts make more sense than what God is telling me. And you know who that's also true of? Not to like totally put her on blast, but it's also true of Eloise, my 2-year-old toddler daughter, right? Eloise, thinks that she knows better than me, like many times every day. Okay, so many times every single day, she's going through the terrible twos, you know? And what's funny about that is like her life is like so easy, right? Like she could sleep in almost every day. And every day someone makes food for her, she has no responsibilities, she can play however much she wants, she has surrounded by people who love her, but somehow she's blind with rage like half the day, okay? No, Daddy, stop talking to me. It's my turn. I don't want this one. I want that one. It's mine, right? Stop touching me. So like, ask yourself, is this how I am with God? Because if it is, reality check, you thinking that you know better than God is like you're a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum at your father. So this is what I got from Isaiah 55, right? We went through a small group discussion, Isaiah 55. It's fresh in my mind. This is my context. Isaiah 55 just says God wants us to come to him. He wants us to eat what he gives us for free. And he wants us to seek him because he's made a way to be found. So now we're at Isaiah 56, okay? And I'll read the first 8 verses. In my Bible, the title heading the translators and editors have is called Salvation for Foreigners. And I remember studying Isaiah 55, I was like, oh, this next section is about salvation for foreigners. That must be pretty cool. But I didn't actually read it, right? Pastor Josh had to read it for us. So Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Verse 6, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will yet gather others to him besides those already gathered. So it doesn't seem that way to us as Christians living in the 21st century, but this is like a radical promise. The offer of forgiveness and grace and love is not just for Israel, okay? The joy is not just for Israel. It's for all the nations. It's for all kinds of people. It's not just for the people who fit in. It's for misfits. It's for outcasts. It's for those that other people have cast aside. And because we're short on time, I just want to focus on the verses 3 to 5, what God says about the eunuch. So for those of you who don't know, a eunuch is a man who is castrated. His reproductive organs were like taken from him. And usually this happens unwillingly and painfully when he's a boy. A lot of times they were captured boys who were castrated to serve foreign kings. And because they could not have any children, they were seen as maximally loyal to the king because they have no ability to have descendants or legacy. And there's some eunuchs who like rose to very high positions, like political power was given to them. They became officials. They became advisors. But being a eunuch is like, it sounds terrible, right? It is deeply shameful, especially in that culture. Like, you can't have a family. And it is shameful. Because in Deuteronomy 23, we can see actually eunuchs are actually excluded from worshiping inside the assembly of the Lord. It's part of like a purity law. Okay, so that's what the eunuch faces in that position. A few weeks ago, so Pastor Josh, he reads through Isaiah 56, and he's explaining why Jesus cleared out the temple at the end of Luke 19. Because the temple is supposed to be a house of prayer, even for Gentiles. But when he read this part about the eunuch, I know it's a little weird, but like it really hit me. And it hit me, yeah, because we study Isaiah 55 at Simeon Trust, so I had this in mind, like God is inviting us to come to him, to seek him, to delight in him, to be forgiven by him. Isaiah 56, he shows that the scope of this invitation is like a lot wider than we realize. See, for the eunuch who feels like an outsider, for the eunuch who has no legacy or descendants, God has something much better for him. So I'm just going to try to explain more personally why I feel like this impacted me. My mom just turned 74 years old this past week. And it's not something that you would expect from like an elderly Chinese immigrant who can barely like speak English, but she's actually a pretty good investor of like stocks, right? And she's held some stocks over the past decade that have made like a lot of money and they've done really well. And on a almost monthly basis, she'll try to have this conversation with me where she's like, I want to like help like pay off your house or something with like this money. It's like a dream for her, right? And I don't know if this seems strange for you. I mean, you guys are all living with your parents and they pay for your stuff, but I'm like old, okay? So like I'm like an old man. I'm like gonna be 40 this year, and I've been financially independent from my parents for a long time. So it's like, you know, when she gets money, honestly, it's a little bit annoying, you know, for her to say like, oh, I'm gonna try to like do this for you. I get that, it's like a huge privilege, it's amazing. You know, I'm sure you guys would love it if your parents did that, but like, there's a part of me, I don't know if you can relate to this, like, I'm just like, what, you don't think I can do this myself? Like, I'm like a man, you know, I have kids, I have my own family. Yet when she gets some money, she still thinks about me, you know? And as I reflected on being a parent a little bit more, especially this week, it's helped me understand where she's coming from. Because as a lot of you guys know, I have three daughters myself. They're ages 5, 2, and Dorothy's 2 months old. And I just remember when I became a father, like, I held Stella in my arm, right? And she just fit into, like, my forearm when she was young. And I thought to myself, like, you know, like, everything that's mine is yours. And anything you need, I'll do the best I can to give it to you. Like, so, like, if I buy a house, I think to myself, like, hey, maybe I'll give it to her one day. Not just her, but, like, my other kids, too, right? But, like, I'll give it to them, you know, one day. Like, if I, you know, I bought a car, and I thought to myself, like, maybe I'll teach you how to drive in this car, you know, when you're the right age. Like, that's what I feel, right? If I have some extra money and invest it, you know, it'd be cool. I'm not thinking really about a golf trip I'm taking like 20 years from now. I'm thinking about like, man, maybe this will help you like not have so many student loans 20 years from now. Like that's what a parent thinks about. And so it helped me understand like, oh, this is what my mom's probably thinking, you know, even though like she's like 74. So I don't know, like when you're looking at the scripture and you see like this guy who can't have any kids, it's sad, right? And God is looking at the eunuch, and he's not like a genie saying like, okay, I'm going to help fix you. I'm going to give you the son or daughter that you wish for. No, God is saying that I have something better for you than the legacy a son or daughter can provide. I'm giving you a monument and a name that will last forever. God is looking at the eunuch saying, I'm not going to make you a father. I'm going to be a father to you. I'm going to be a father to you. I'm going to make you my son. What I have for you is so much better than what a son or daughter can bring for you. You won't just have a legacy. You'll have an inheritance from me, an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Like to the eunuch, they're probably thinking like, I can't enter the assembly of God even, right? But there will be a day when they will. And when they do, God's saying, my house will be your house. You can enter my walls. You can come and just eat without buying anything. You can drink even though you have no money to give me. You just stay here, you eat and delight. And that's the heart of a true father and what God wants for us. Okay? So when you think about it, like Isaiah is pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to all these things that are promised, but not yet fulfilled. But yet we have the fulfillment of it, right? This is what Jesus has done for us. He wants a house of prayer for all nations. And just look around. That's what we have here. A house of prayer for all nations. That's why he flipped the tables in the temple. With his blood, he paid the penalty of sin. With his blood, he rescued us from darkness. He is the fulfillment of these promises because with his blood, we can now be the children of God, adopted into the family of God, fellow heirs with Christ to the inheritance of God. You have a monument and a name waiting for you, whether you know it or not. I know when I was in junior high school, like, I could imagine myself thinking that, like, I don't know, like, yeah, it's, like, great to be reconciled with God, but, like, what good is it if, like, people don't like me, you know? And, like, when you say that out loud, it sounds, like, insane, right? Like, oh, I love, you know, God loves me, but, like, people don't like me. It sucks, right? I don't know. Do you feel that way? Some of you might feel that way. And I would tell my younger self, I would tell you today, that even when you are an outsider, even when you have nothing to offer God, He still wants you to come. He's the one that can melt the heart of stone. He's the one that can wash you from your sins and make you white as snow. Come to God, seek God while you can, hold fast to God. And He's going to lavish you with spiritual blessing that is so disproportionate to anything that you could ever pretend to even offer to Him. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on Isaiah 56. I know tonight's going to be a night of fun. We're going to play games, laugh, and just enjoy time with each other. And as we do, I just pray that we can do it all to the glory of God, who loves you like a father. He invites you to come to Him. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that You are a Father to us. We thank You, God, that You have invited us to come to You, to seek You while we can, to come and just sit in Your house, to eat without paying, to drink and delight in You, God. We didn't deserve it, and yet we have it. You give to us a monument and a name that is above all other names. You have given us inheritance alongside Christ. And who are we, God, that You would even think about us this way? And so we thank You, God. We just pray that we would just grow in love for You. And we thank You in Your Son's name. Amen.